I texted Gail again and let her know that the collective wisdom of the group is coming forward and Kaylee's going to kick us off. And we're just really resilient as a group. And I'm thrilled that Kaylee is willing to start and talk about prayer and treatment. And then we have lots of collective wisdom to draw on. So off you go, Kaylee. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I will try not to take up the whole time because this chapter was huge. Like this was, first of all, it was a longer chapter I noticed than, you know, some of the others we've read. It was just really, really packed, chock full. And what was interesting is, you know, we speak a lot about synchronicity in this group. And for me, it resonated with some stuff I've been thinking of because as you all know, I've been really studying Neville Goddard, whose whole belief system is the law of assumption, living and really feeling truly that your desired state or thing is just already in existence. And Holmes literally says just that in this chapter. And what came to mind was three points when I was reading the chapter that really stuck out to me. And the first thing that stuck out to me was a memory I had when I first read Dr. Joseph Murphy back in 2017. You know, my life was just completely changed. And I remember, you know, my dad was having a rough day and I'd come home and I'd visited my family and he was having a rough day and we were sitting on the front porch and I was like trying to explain to him the concept of affirmative prayer. And I think first of all, I was like very new to it. So I didn't like, it was a hard time explaining it. And also, I think that maybe some people just aren't at that step in their spiritual journey, right? And he didn't get it. And like, he was like, I just remember how it was just adorable because he was just like, I just don't get it. Kaylee, I'm sorry. And I was like, it's okay. Like, it's okay, you know? And this chapter was amazing because I was like, I wish I'd read this chapter when I was trying to explain it to my dad because what was the, okay, so there's a quote, at least in my version, from Holmes on page 83 at the bottom, that's like, a treatment is not a petition, but an affirmation resting in the belief that it is the nature of reality to give to us and express itself through us. And that is what I was trying to explain to my dad. So as you all know, you know, Kaylee and company came from a very religious background, my family and such. Even my father was, you know, Polish National Catholic. And prayer, I feel, in the more traditional religions, the Abrahamic at least, comes from a point of weakness and almost desperation and neediness. I can remember being little and we would go to Christian stores and there'd be paintings on the wall, you know, paintings of like people just like desperately on their knees, like praying and praying, just desperation. And if you think about it, when a lot of people pray, it is from a point of, you know, God, I'm so and so sick. Oh my God, I don't want them to pass away. God, please fix it. It's a point of desperation. And two, you know, Dr. Joseph Murphy does a brilliant breakdown of the Lord's Prayer. But again, traditionally, it's said as "Thy will be done." That God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus's Father, the Abrahamic God, Elohim, however you want to break it down, is bigger than you, right? Like that you have no point and no business even doing anything or trying to think of yourself as any sort of creator or any empowered creature. It comes from a point of lowliness, in my opinion, my experience. And so the beauty of coming into divine science and spiritual thought and Holmes and Goddard and Joseph Murphy and Shovel Shin and all these brilliant thinkers, and even Jesus, like if you break down, you know, Holmes calls him the original, like the best metaphysical teacher. you know, we might call him the OG, the original gangster, metaphysical teacher. Like the Jesus even talked about it. If you really break down his speaking, he's like, you do have the power. You know, if ye have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So anyway, the whole point of all this is that you actually have a lot. You have the power. And Holmes talks about how God, spirit, all that is beautiful, nothing is never anything but that, is never anything but perfection and beauty and wisdom and the answer and health and harmony. And all you have to do is call it forth, right? And he says, you know, essentially that all the operating, all of the stuff that has to happen is all in our own brains, right? Because consciousness has to act through something and someone. Let's be real, we're on the 3D plane. God acts and is through us, right? We're not, you know, things aren't just going to magically start floating around. It acts through us. It's people we meet. It's circumstances we come to. We have to call upon all that goodness and beauty and harmony. And Holmes talks about how, like, it can be tricky. Like, you literally have to, I love the quote, like what he says at the end of the chapter, you have to be able to look a negative situation in the eye and have enough courage and have enough study of divine science and new thought to look a negative situation in the eye and say, you don't exist. You are just a symptom of an old belief that I have. And behind it, peeling away the layers of indoctrination and the years of our lives and the beliefs that we've been hammered into us and neediness and lack and helplessness, pulling all that away, you're going to get to this core of God and beauty, and you pull that through. You have to look at the negative situation in the eye and say, you don't exist. You are a hologram. You are a ghost. You are simply a strange reaction to beliefs that I have that I'm now going to break through and pull through the truth and the God of it. And this is a hard belief for many of us. And it is something Holmes like says, you have to practice it. You have to have the courage. And he says, like, some people might look at you and he uses a specific word that's like, it's not useless, or I'll try and find it. But like, there's no, he just talks about how if you are a, you know, if someone is a real practitioner, there's not a concept of like, this is like, because some people might look at you and say, wow, you're just denying it. You're in denial. And Holmes is like, if you really know the truth of it, if you've studied this, if you have worked on this, you realize that it's not denial. You're just looking at the truth behind all the veils of reality and 3D and beliefs and what Dr. Joseph Murphy calls the race mind, this giant ocean of churning, let's be honest, negativity. If you look behind all that, what we as practitioners do is we see the truth. That's not denial. That's seeing. That's being able to see. And so that was really beautiful and powerful that he talked about that. And, you know, he just reiterates that. He's like, you know, that, you know, God never, good never compromises with its opposite. God never compromises. Truth knows no opposites. There's no real bad. It's just a veil. And you just have to pull that veil aside. You know, speaking of veils, again, synchronicity. We just had Samhain, Halloween, you know, the old Gaelic, Celtic festival, where the veil was thin, right, between the other world and ours. Again, pull back that veil, see the truth of God behind it all. And that's hard. Like, let's be real, it's hard. And it's, he says, you have to practice it. You absolutely have to practice it. But the universe withholds no good thing from us, but that which belongs to us, we must take. You have to make an act of acceptance in your mind. You have to look. And you have to say, this bad thing isn't real. And instead, I accept the goodness and the God of it. And it's just a conviction, and it's a belief, and it's a practice. And you have to just believe that it's going to act, God and goodness is going to act through you. It'll manifest. It's already yours. because, you know, God is never not a good thing. You know, you just have to claim the goodness and let it come into your life. And it's hard because he talks about, you know, how you have a belief that's like, it can be lukewarm or, excuse my language, but like half-assed, and like, that can be tricky. And you have to really, I truly believe you have to practice every day and do meditations and prayers every day to work at working past this sort of 3D concept of helplessness and bad things and really work to push past that. Anyway, so that's kind of a ramble there. And one more thing I wanted to hit is that, and I wish I'd been able to explain that to my dad back in 2017, but whatever. We grow and we learn. An affirmative prayer is simply a matter of us affirming that truth and saying, no, I am health. I am wisdom. I am the answer to this question because I am calling it forth. It's not a desperation. It's literally you're standing there and you're saying, no, no, I choose harmony. You, harmony, come to me. You, answer, come to me. That's what affirmative prayer is. And it's knowing that the minute you say that, it's there. You just have to acknowledge it. And then there's one other thing that I did want to mention, which was just the power of belief. And he talks about symbols and prayers and crescent moons and like, it's all about belief, right? So I listen to podcasts. I love podcasts, as you all know. And I love paranormal and sort of esoteric stuff. And one of the podcasts I listened to, one of the gentlemen was like, I want to go ghost hunting, but I'm like really scared that I'm going to get attacked by ghosts, right? And I was like, okay. And he's like, I need some protection. Should I take like a crucifix? And like, I DM'd him, I direct messaged him on Instagram. And I was like, well, it doesn't really matter like what you bring. It's about your belief. And in many belief systems, there are things like tattoos or sigils, they're called, which are just symbols that you create that represent something to you. And I told him, I said, you could make whatever you want. You could have your kids draw you a picture and like that represents to you total protection. And that's exactly what Holmes says. He's like, it's not the crucifix that you hold up to Dracula. You know, it's not the holy water. It's not the lead that you hold up to the faithful, the fairies. You know, it's not that in and of itself. It's the belief of it and the power that you put behind it. And the guy was like, that's a good point. And then later on the podcast, he's like, everyone's messaging me and saying like, it's the belief. It's what you put into it. You know, it's why someone in Saudi Arabia might hold up the Quran and be like, this is total protection. Whereas my mom puts out, you know, her version of the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and that's her protection. It's all about the belief. And that was a little rambly, but I hope it had some trails you could follow. This was just an awesome, awesome chapter. And I found it being some answers to some questions I was working with and dealing with, and what's too much, what's too lukewarm, what's not enough, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you for listening. And also I want to give you all an FYI. I am joining a friend for lunch at around 12:30. So if I hop off, I'm not being rude. I love you all. And, thank you for listening. Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Kaylee. Thank you. That was wonderful. You weren't rambling at all. I thought that was amazing.
Was it? Okay, good. I'm glad it made sense. God bless.
A natural speaker.
Thank you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And a natural teacher.
I can't believe you Thank just you. Winged that.
That was completely
awesome.
Thank you. Improv. There we go.
Connie, you're muted.
Thank you so much, Kaylee. Is somebody willing to follow that act? Carolyn is.
Thank you, Kaylee. My perception about prayer as a youngster was my dad kneeling at his bed praying and out of desperation. And I also, do you remember when you were a little kid, the little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I
absolutely
should die,
yep,
before I wake, yes. I pray.
It's horrible. Like, yeah,
it is. And
it was so scary.
Yes, it was. I would go to sleep being scared. I wouldn't, you know, everything would disappear during the night. Mm-hmm. And Kay Pentecost, one of my favorite, such a brilliant practitioner. She had a couple of lines that were different at the end. And I said, boy, I wish I had known that one instead. So your perception about doing prayer when it was to bargain, to when your belief was such that there you needed intervention and help.
Yeah.
And in reading Melinda Kramer and Divine Science in the very beginning of her book on healing, she reiterates that there is no separation. And I think to go behind prayer and treatment is for us to know absolutely that we are God, that creative potential is within us all the time. The wisdom is there. It is at a level of conscious awareness that perhaps we're not in touch with it at that moment in time. And so I really appreciate you saying to focus our attention on the truth that's behind any situation and to have that knowledge up front from New Thought that says we're all one, that powerful presence is the truth of who we are. We are a holographic projection of God. And as a whole yes. projection, we have that capacity. It is within us all the time. And to recognize that, which is the truth of who we are, that we are spiritual beings, we are God that has projected into life form in this three-dimensional reality is human. And to know that we aren't a physical body having a soul, we are a soul that is expressing through a human form. That's a big difference. And so many of us have been educated to believe, as you stated, that we are showing up and God is something external to us, and we have, yes, we have choice, but our choice is so limited by the little box of believing that our soul is something little tiny that is within us, you know, and if you're so blessed, you might get acquainted with it instead of not understanding that our soul is huge. It has no boundaries. It is everywhere present. It is in the collective consciousness, and that we tap into that awareness and to align our thinking in that way and to adjust our beliefs. And by listening to other people and reading other New Thought authors and opening ourselves up to the experience of life as we change our thinking and our beliefs and take appropriate action. So thank you, Kaylee. It was great and wonderful. And
oh, thank you.
And
you're welcome.
And affirmative prayer, really, truly, I'm so thankful to Dukite because he said, you know, the first step is always go to prayer. What the first step is always going to that place of truth and knowing we are at choice. And as Terry Cole Whitaker used to say on her TV show back in the 80s, you know, it was choose and choose again. Keep being at choice. And as Rocco Errico said, turn the other cheek. It means if what you're experiencing is not in alignment with your highest good, your highest vision of yourself, turn your cheek. Go in a different direction. Be the adventurer. Know what's in your heart and keep moving in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Great, Carol.
I love that. Thank you. I love that turn the cheek thing. You know, Jesus says, turn the cheek. And people interpreted it as, you know, if someone's mean to you, you know, don't look away. But I love that idea that it's like, just say no to the negative experience and be like, actually, no, I choose harmony instead. I choose the truth of it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kaylee. Beverly's next.
Well, thank you, Kaylee. And a lot of what you talked about triggered a number of things. You talked about the Lord's Prayer. And if we take a look at the Lord's Prayer, it's not a prayer of begging. Absolutely isn't. As you go through and dissect it, it's actually asking for what you want. He's never begging. He's never, it's always, this is what I want, you know. The other piece is I'm in the middle of reading biography of Jose Silver, the founder of Silver Mind Control. And he always talks about seek that the kingdom inside of you and all will be given to you, right? And he goes on to talk about, I got the book right here. He says that as he studied the teachings of Jesus more intensely in those days, Jose came to realize that besides Jesus, only Matthew of all the disciples used the term kingdom of heaven to refer to the dimension of wisdom and prophecy Jesus was encouraging the disciples to go to. And Matthew says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But basically, everybody can reach that dimension where many problems can be solved because we go inside ourselves. When we go into meditation, when we go into the alpha and theta brainwaves, we are tapping into the spiritual side of us. And it works because answers are given. No matter what technique you use, whatever, you know, there. With Silva, we got the glass of water technique. Others is get down on your knees and pray. And other people have other techniques, but it goes right back to intention. What is your belief level? People carry, what is it, rabbit's foot or some talisman, or as Carolyn, you talked about, or the the cross or whatever it is. It's just a symbol. It's a symbol of the belief. People have said, oh, I didn't have my rabbit's foot with me. I'm not gonna win. Every time I win, I have my rabbit foot. And finally somebody says, but it's not the rabbit's foot that's helping you win. It's the belief you have inside of you. We all have the capability of healing. We all have the capability of actually changing events through our beliefs and our collective prayers and our collective beliefs. So all in their affirmative prayer. Never pray the negative. Leave it alone. Pray for what you want. Ask for what you want. Always. And thank you, Kaylee. It was wonderful.
Thank you. That's beautiful. You're welcome.
Thanks, Beverly. Carolyn's up next.
It goes to belief being a vibration. And so, as we shift into a vibration, into an energy, and we know that all vibration carries information. And so to say, I'm claiming what I want, if you stay in that intellectual place, it is much more powerful in my experience to move into the feeling tone, that feeling vibration. And so taking our attention from our head to our heart and being able to, as HeartMath says, have coherence between brain and our heart center, that vibration represents what we're desiring, but it also represents our belief. And to have that very coherent vibration of joy and love and security and wealth, prosperity, to be in that place and to use our imagination and to be it now. And then to use that phrase, I am, and use the I am and be the vibration. So be it now. Thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn. Felicia.
I am inspired to share something that is more of a treatment and prayer that I would offer that we could focus on today, which is tolerance and love for people even when they think differently than us. I'm especially focused on this right now with what's happening in our physical present, and I was reading some Swami Vivekananda, and I wanted to share that because it really moved me. In 1893 in the United States, they held an event called the Parliament of Religions, where all religions were invited to send emissaries and speak the religious leaders all to each other. And these are a few things that Swami Vivekananda shared there. He quotes a line from a hymn, a Hindu hymn. As different streams having their sources in different places, all mingle their water to the sea, so, O Lord, the different paths which men take through different tendencies, various though they appear, crooked or straight, all lead to thee. And quoting the Gita as God's message to us, whosoever comes to me, through whatsoever form, I reach him. All men are struggling through paths which in the end lead to me. And then on the topic of why we disagree, the speaker before Vivekananda said, let us cease from abusing each other. Let the religions of the world cease from abusing each other. And Vivekananda says, on that topic, let me tell you a story which would illustrate the cause of this variance. A frog lived in a well. It had lived there a long time. It was born there and brought up there, and yet was a little, small frog. And every day it cleansed the water of all the worms and bacilli that lived in it with an energy that would do credit to our modern bacteriologists. In this way it went on and became a little sleek and fat. One day another frog that lived in the sea came and fell in the well. Where are you from? I'm from the sea. The sea? How big is that? Is it as big as my well? And he took a leap from one side of the well to the other. My friend, said the frog of the sea, how do you compare the sea with your little well? Then the frog took another leap and asked, is your sea so big? What nonsense you speak to compare the sea to your well. Well then, said the frog of the well, nothing can be bigger than my well. There can be nothing bigger than this. This fellow is a liar. So put him out. And that has been the difficulty all the while. I am a Hindu, sitting in my own little well and thinking that the whole world is my little well. The Christian sits in his little well and thinks the whole world is his well. The Hamadian sits in his little well and thinks that it is the whole world. I have to thank you of America for the great attempt you are making to break down the barriers of this little world of ours, and hope that in the future, the Lord will help you accomplish your purpose. He speaks of the Vedas and explains that by the Vedas, no books are meant. To the Hindus, the Vedas mean the accumulated treasury of spiritual laws discovered by different persons at different times. Just as the law of gravitation existed before its discovery, and would exist if all humanity forgot it. So it is with the laws that govern the spiritual world. And so I, as I mentioned, watched a news program talking about our elections on Tuesday, and it was not hopeful information that they were sharing. And I really would love to have us focus on supporting the great American dream of tolerance and appreciation for all paths, and that our collective most strong desires for peace, for love, for prosperity, for joy and ease and celebration in our communities and country, that be the prevailing presence as we are creating the future path. I'd love to just put out there that unity will prevail and love will prevail and freedom will prevail, because that is what is the deepest desires in all of our hearts, no matter what our particular beliefs are. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Felicia.
That was beautiful. Wow, gorgeous.
Thank you for giving us something to do after the break. We have a mission. And I love that he said that the mission for America is to break down the barriers. And what a hopeful, beautiful, beautiful thought. So I am appreciating that. I am thinking that this is a good place to stop.